How's it going, man? Thanks for the time. We appreciate you coming to chat to us ahead of South Africa. Are you excited to be coming back?
I am indeed. Yeah, it's snuck up on me a little bit. I looked at my calendar and I'm there in a couple of weeks. So I'm ready to go.
What did you enjoy most about the previous time that you were here?
One time I went to, what is it? Something Albert. Something. I went on safari in this place called Port Albert or something.
Prince
yeah.
Albert.
And they put me in a hotel room and a giraffe came and tapped his head on the window while I was showering. So that was something I've never experienced anywhere else. But the crowds are always great, and you know, this will be my, I believe, fourth time coming to South Africa. Third time by myself, but I came many years ago to perform at the casinos with a whole lot of other comedians. But so I've been coming to South Africa to do gigs now for, I would say, 18 years.
Yeah.
Long time.
Yeah, it has been a long time. It's going to be nice to have you back and on the back of the new specials and things, which congratulations as well. I wanted to know, like, do you have a part of, like, is Los Angeles home for you? Do you still feel like Australia's home? I know, like, you left there, university, you ended up in the UK. Like, you're like a man of everywhere, man.
Home's Los Angeles because that's where my kids are, man. Mm-hmm. My kids are American, so that's my home. But, you know, I still call Australia home. Like, Australia's where I'm from. And I've been living in America now for 16 years. Mm-hmm. And I still don't quite understand them completely. There's still things that I don't get about Americans. So I don't think I've fully assimilated over 16 years. But I this is home. I go to basketball games. I'm a baseball fan. My sons have American accents. So this is home.
Fully assimilated. I love that we've spoken about your kids. And I have two kids as well. And I find them hilarious. Are your kids funnier than you?
The two-year-old only says about 30 words, so he'd have to construct a pretty good joke out of those words to be funnier than me. But, you know, he farts on cue, so that's got to show some level of comedy coming out of him. My 11-year-old who's downstairs is hilarious. Yeah, he's very funny. He comes out with funny things all the time. He's got the gene, you know. It's funny because I have one brother who's funny, and I have another brother who's not funny. And I remember looking at my nephews and nieces and seeing which ones had the funny gene. I've got five of them, and two of them have the funny gene, but I won't say who's who because, you know, they might find out I don't think is very funny.
I was just going to ask you, who's the funny brother, the military guy or the investment banker?
The investment banker's the funnier one, yeah.
The cop's not funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, dude, does your 11-year-old know you're famous?
Well, look, my 11-year-old goes to school with, and every dad or mum is famous at the school. So,
you
know, he goes to a school in Hollywood where he meets famous people all the time. You know, my son, you know, Michael Jackson's kids went to my son's school. Mm. So he knows I'm famous, but he knows that I'm the least famous dad in the whole class. So it's all relative, you know. But he's been coming to see me do shows since he was born, you know, so he stood in the wings. But I let him watch my comedy until he was about four and he could comprehend more what I was saying. And now he can't. He has to sit in the dressing room. But he comes and enjoys the atmosphere and he hangs out with other comedians and all that type of stuff. So he knows what's going on. We're doing a tour of Australia over my summer and your winter. And he's going to come on the road with me the whole time. So for his summer break. So you know, I'll try to get him some backstage work so he can earn a few bucks.
Are you totally Hollywood or do you still do kind of normal dad stuff? Are you mowing the lawn? Are you emptying pulling the dishwasher?
I could lie to you right now and say that I mowed the lawn. I think my gardener's in the backyard and my cleaner's just in the laundry right now. But I do all the school run and I do all the dad duties. Today I've got, you know, my son's got a little league baseball game and I'll be right there cheering him on. You know, I try to be as much a dad as possible. When my eldest boy's at home, I don't work. I only work every second week, so that I think that he thinks that I do nothing. I think he thinks that I hardly work at all. I do like one tour in the summer, and that's it. But when he's with his mum, I go on the road.
It must be nice being able to take him on tour, as you said, to Australia with you now, and show him around a bit and a little bit of what dad does. Being a young comic in your 20s, traveling the world is probably very rock and roll. But like dad comic traveling, are you getting to the point where you're like, oh man, another plane?
Nah, well, look. As the body has gotten weaker, the plane seats have gotten larger, so it's all right. You know what I mean? Like in my 20s, it was just as stressful because I was sitting in economy, and now it's like, I have a 2-year-old. He's not a baby anymore, but I'm looking forward to the 24-hour flight to South Africa and just sitting back and popping a couple of Xanaxes and going to sleep. I think it's going to be wonderful.
I get it. I totally get it. You are so famous now, and your comedy, it lives on social media, on your specials, all of that. So your fans have access to you even when they don't see a live show. So what is the thing that, or the story or the joke that people quote back to you the most?
The gun control routine is the bit that probably gets quoted back the most to me. And the one that I get probably sent to me the most is my Oscar Pistorius routine, which I always thought, because I did the South African accent in it, that you guys would never welcome me back into the country, but you all seem to enjoy it. So I'll keep doing it, you know.
Listen, yeah, that's a whole thing. I wanted to ask, like...
That's such a great radio response.
It's a whole thing. Yeah, it really is. You've, over the years, you've done like all of the Netflix specials and your own shows, and you've been sort of the interviewer as much as you've been interviewed now. They're the famous ones, you know, you fighting with Jordan Peterson and talking to so-and-so and differing about stuff.
I didn't fight with Jordan Peterson. I got no problem with Jordan Peterson. I got along well with Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson... I will say, I'll give him this. I debated something about the gay wedding cakes and that type of stuff, and he actually changed his mind. I think that's a great conversation where someone can actually see someone's point of view. I've talked to a lot of people. It's easier being interviewed. It's easier being interviewed than interviewing people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do tend to agree.
You can get in trouble in both directions, as you would know, right?
You can
ask the wrong question and get in trouble, or you can answer the question wrongly and get in trouble. It's a double-edged sword, this.
Do you feel that conversation and even interviews, like, it's sort of becoming more combative? People want more sound bites out of it. People want to know who won a conversation. It feels mad at the moment on social media.
Well, the problem with everything with social media and with the TikTok generation is that everything's not being listened to fully. You know, if you hear someone answer a question and then you know you don't like their answer, maybe if you listen to the whole interview, you would understand where that person's coming from. Same with stand-up comedy. Stand-up comedy used to be watched as an hour-long special. And you could see everything in context and see where the comedian was going. But now you're just getting one joke, and that comedian might seem too offensive, or it might not. Maybe they're not making the point they want to make because you haven't heard the earlier routine. So, classic example of that. If you watch my Oscar Pistorius routine, it's very offensive, unless you've watched the gun control routine that happened 5 minutes earlier that I'm referencing all the time. In the same way that, you know, I must be an old man now because I still like albums, you know, because bands used to bring out albums and they had a flow to them. They had a song that led into this song and then a heavier song and then a ballad, and then it ended up with some epic sort of theme at the end. And you could listen to, you know, like classic example, something like Sgt. Pepper's or something, and it had a flow and a movement and it was a piece of art. Now it's just people select the one song they want, and that's the one they listen to. You know, by having so much selection in the world, we're only listening and watching the things that we particularly want to watch. And I believe we're watching a narrower view of the world.
But that's got to be pretty cool for you as a comedian that people are coming to a show when there is so hello
I was gonna say
we just met Jim's cat.
Can we meet the cat? What's the cat's name?
This one's Elvis. This one.
But, hey, Elvis.
There's another one going around. Yeah, he's all right, this one. This one's a friendly one. He has a sister who looks the same, who isn't friendly at all. She's around somewhere talking.
What's her name?
Her name's Freddie.
No wonder she's grumpy. No wonder she's grumpy. But for someone to actually choose to come to a theater, leave their house, come and see you, make them laugh, that's got to be kind of like a feather in your cap as a comedian.
Well, when I was younger, I don't think I appreciated it as much as I do now. You know, when I was younger, I the crowds were showing up and I thought that I had a limited shelf life, but I was not amazed by how many people showed up because I went out all the time. I was always out. I was out on a Monday at a pub quiz and Tuesday at this and Wednesday at the movies. I was probably doing drugs on a Thursday, drinking on a Friday, and you know what I mean? Like, I was out all the time. But now that I'm in my 40s, it's really hard to leave the house. You know what I mean? And if you're like me and you got young kids, you get with the wife, I get maybe 12 date nights a year. And for people to actually spend their date night, get a babysitter. Let's plan the time out. Go out for a minute. It's a big deal for people to leave the house. So I take that very personally. Like, I really do try to put on the best show I can. I want you to leave the show thinking, that was worth it. Because so many times you leave the house and you go, that wasn't worth it. I could have stayed home and watched The Bachelor.
So on one of these 12 days, these special moments, the babysitter is booked. You and I, you're taking me out for date night. What are we doing, Jim? What is it, Jim Jeffries' date night special? Yeah.
Okay. Me and the wife, because we don't get much. Like, I don't know if you're going to like this answer, but, you know, I come from California where weed is completely legal. What I do is I take a whole lot of edibles and I go out to a restaurant and I eat as much as I can. I've given up drinking. I've given up drugs. I don't smoke cigarettes anymore. That's my vice, is getting high and eating a lot of food. So that's how me and the wife go.
Magic.
Maybe a movie.
You studied musical theater. So I want to know, what is your favorite musical?
West Side Story. That's the best musical ever written. That's
brilliant.
The best musical ever written.
She's also a musical theater kid, so.
Brilliant answer.
Yeah, there's no argument. There's many great musicals, but that's the best musical ever written. I didn't really like the last version of it because I really enjoyed the original movie. But I've seen many stage productions of it. And, you know, like Tony in the new movie didn't hit the high C when he was Maria, that one. He didn't do that bit. I was very disappointed.
I like you even more now. That was the correct answer. Thank you so much, Jim.
Appreciate your time.
You guys going to come to the show?
Absolutely. We will see you there, 100%.
Right. We'll make sure you come backstage and say hello. Make sure they sort you out with passes to come back.
Thank you, mate. We'd appreciate that. And we look forward to seeing you in just a couple of weeks.
No worries. See you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, mate.